Drama on One.
Sundays at 8 p.m.
rte.ie/drama on one.
Drama on One.
My name is Alan Stanford. Welcome to Hamlet in Hoth. Hamlet is now on the battlements. Now he's going to find out whether it's true or not. Is it a ghost? Is it a demon? Is it his father? The night is wild. The night is cold. Claudius is partying in the castle, the way Claudius is generally partying in the castle, and generally drinking as well, a comment that Hamlet makes about him. But out here, we have a man alone wanting to greet his dead father. And the dead father arrives. And in this section, Hamlet we read by Aina Ryan and The Ghost by Declan Mulligan.
Angels and ministers of grace defend us, be thou a spirit of health or goblin damned. Bring the airs from heaven or blast from hell. Be thy intents wicked or charitable. Thou comest in such a questionable shape that I will speak to thee. I call thee Hamlet, king, father, royal Dane. Oh, answer me.
And again, there is a note of caution with which Hamlet greets the ghost. He needs to be certain of the truth of its identity. He wants to know, are you really what I think you are? Please be what I think you are. But he also does address it as king, father, and again, that important phrase, royal Dane.
Mark me.
I will.
My hour is almost come, when I to the sulphurous and tormenting flames must render up myself.
Alas, poor ghost.
I am thy father's spirit, doomed for a certain term to walk the nights, and for the day confined to fast and fires, till the foul crimes done in my days of nature are burnt and purged away. List! List, oh list, if thou didst ever thy dear father love.
Oh God.
Revenge his foul and most unnatural murder.
Murder?
Murder most foul, as in the best it is, but this most foul, strange, and unnatural.
And here we have it. We might call it the avenge my death syndrome. This is the moment when the plot of the play really gets established. Avenge my death. I am your father's spirit. The ghost says it. It's unequivocal. There's no doubt. I am your father's spirit, and I want you to revenge the foul and most unnatural murder done on me. This is a terrible moment. It is saying to somebody, to anyone of you listening, go out and kill somebody. If you love me, kill that person. It's a great motif in drama. It's a great motif in Shakespeare. It happens all the way through the plays, the tragedies, the histories, and even the comedies. There's a wonderful moment in Much Ado About Nothing, which is one of his greatest comedies, where one character turns to another and says, kill Claudio, and she means it. The injunction to kill another human being is terrible, because you are redirecting an innocent life down the path of revenge. And this exists in all societies, not just in drama, in societies, in all nations. It's there from the plays of Jacobi in England to even films like, you know, The Godfather. As I say, it's like a mafioso play. Revenge is one of the great motivators in drama and is one of the great motivators in life and death. It drives forwards heroes and villains alike, and it destroys lives. And that's the point that Shakespeare wants to make. The ghost doesn't merely say, revenge my murder, but to make it more poignant, to actually grind it into Hamlet's imagination, he goes into the gruesome details of how that murder happened.
Sleeping within my orchard, my custom always of the afternoon, upon my secure hour thy uncle stole with juices of cursed hebanon in a vial, and in the porches of my ear did pour the leprous distillment, whose effect holds such an enmity with the blood of man that swift as quicksilver it courses through the natural gates and alleys of the body, and with a sudden vigour doth posset and curd like eager droppings into milk the thin and wholesome blood. So did it mine. And a most instant tetter barked about, most lazard-like with vile and loathsome crust, all my smooth body. Thus was I, sleeping by my brother's hand. Of life, of crown, of queen at once dispatched. Cut off even in the blossoms of my sin, unhouseled, disappointed, unannealed, no reckoning made, but sent to my account with all my imperfections on my head.
How gruesome is it? He keeps explaining those awful details, the words he uses, the leprous distillment that's swift as quicksilver, as mercury, shot through the blood, shot through his body. Did posset and curd, that idea of everything congealing inside of you, with most instant tetter barked about, most lazar-like, with vile and loathsome crust. So what the ghost is doing, he's saying, he didn't just kill me, he made my body disintegrate. But not only that, the ghost takes it one step further, and this is the important step, because we must remember the religious basis within this play, because it's going to cause certain things to happen. Thus was I of crown of queen at once dispatched, cut off even in the blossoms of my sin, unhouseled, disappointed, unannealed, no reckoning made, but sent to my account with all my imperfections on my head. In other words, he killed me before I had a chance to confess. I did not die in a state of grace. I died in a state of sin. And because of that, my soul did not go up. It went down to purgatory. So he's putting into Hamlet's mind not only the hideousness of the physical murder, but the fact that he went very close to murdering old Hamlet's soul as well. He is now in purgatory and he must suffer there, which is more than Hamlet could ever forgive. The ghost's final injunction to Hamlet is that he wants to be remembered. Not to lie forgotten in death, but to be remembered and to be revenged.
Remember thee, aye, thou poor ghost, while memory holds a seat in this distracted globe, remember thee. Yea, from the table of my memory, I'll wipe away all trivial fond records, all souls of books, all forms, all pressures past, that youth and observation copied there. And thy commandant all alone shall live, within the book and volume of my brain, unmixed with baser matter. Yes, by heaven, O most pernicious woman, O villain, villain, smiling, damned villain. This time is out of joint, O cursed spite, that ever I was born to set it right.
But he must set it right. No other consideration in his life now matters more. Nothing, not friends, not lovers, not mother, not father, no consideration now matters more than he set right what has been done to his father. He must now go on a journey. Most of Shakespeare's heroes have to go on a journey, and Hamlet's is a very strange journey. From Hamlet the scholar that we've now seen, through Hamlet the clown, and even into Hamlet the exile, before he can have his revenge as King Hamlet, as he proclaims himself, Hamlet the Dane.
Mark me.
I will.
My hour is almost come when I to sulphurous and tormenting flames must render up myself.
Alas, poor ghost.
Pity me not, but lend thy serious hearing to what I shall unfold.
Speak, I am bound to hear.
So art thou to revenge when thou shalt hear.
What?
I am thy father's spirit. Doomed for a certain term to walk the night, and for the day confined to fast in fires till the foul crimes done in my days of nature are burned and purged away. But that I am forbid to tell the secrets of my prison house, I could a tale unfold whose lightest word would harrow up thy soul, freeze thy young blood, make thy two eyes like stars start from their spheres, thy knotted and combined locks to part, and each particular hair to stand an end like quills upon the fretful porpentine. But this eternal blazon must not be to ears of flesh and blood. If thou didst ever thy dear father love,
of God,
revenge is foul and most unnatural murder.
Murder?
Murder most foul, as in the best it is, but this most foul, strange and unnatural.
Haste me to know that I, with wings as swift as meditation or the thoughts of love, may sweep to my revenge.
I find the end. And duller shouldst thou be than the fat weed that roots itself in ease on lethal wharf, wouldst thou not stir in this? Now, Hamlet, here. 'Tis given out that sleeping in my orchard a serpent stung me. So the whole ear of Denmark is by a forged process of my death rankly abused. But know, thou noble youth, the serpent that did sting thy father's life now wears his crown.
Oh, my prophetic soul, my uncle!
Why, that incestuous, that adulterate beast, with witchcraft of his wits, with traitorous gifts, oh, wicked witted gifts that have the power soul to seduce, won to his shameful lust the will of my most seeming virtuous queen. Oh, Hamlet, what a falling off was there from me, whose love was of that dignity that it went hand in hand even with the vow I made to her in marriage, and to decline upon a wretch whose natural gifts were poor to those of mine. But virtue, as it never will be moved, though lewdness caught it in the shape of heaven, so lust, though to a radiant angel linked, will sit itself in a celestial bed and prey on garbage. But soft. Methinks I scent the morning air. Brief let me be. Sleeping within mine orchard, my custom always of the afternoon, upon my secure hour, thy uncle stole with juice of cursed ebony in a vial, and in the porches of my ear did pour the leprous distillment, whose effect holds such an enmity with blood of man that swift as quicksilver it courses through the natural gates and alleys of the body, and with a sudden vigor it doth posset and curd, like eager droppings into milk, the thin and wholesome blood. So did it mine. And a most instant tetter barked about most lazar-like with vile and loathsome crust all my smooth body. Thus was I sleeping by a brother's hand of life, of crown, of queen at once dispatched, cut off even in the blossoms of my sin, unhoused, disappointed, unannealed, no reckoning made, but sent to my account with all my imperfections on my head.
Oh, horrible, horrible, most horrible.
If thou hast nature in thee, bear it not. Let not the royal bed of Denmark be a couch for luxury and damned incest. Yeah. But howsomever thou pursuest this act, pain not thy mind, nor let thy soul contrive against thy mother aught. Leave her to heaven, and to those thorns that in her bosom lodge to prick and sting her. Fare thee well at once. The glowworm shows the matin to be near, and begins to pale his uneffectual fire. Adieu. Adieu. Adieu, Hamlet, remember me.
Drama on One. Sundays at 8 p.m. rte.ie/drama on one.
Drama on One.